Welcome back. We've got five hands up, so that's a good number. We'll take those questions and then we'll wrap it up. So Melissa, whenever you're ready, hopefully we've got sound.
I think I have sound.
Yay.
So I'm finding myself quite confused the last couple of days with so I have heard, like, you're not your thoughts, you're not your beliefs, you're not this body, you're not this mind. And I understand that. I mean, that's been really helpful as far as like lesson two and like transcending that. But then it's like, then I'm confused with, but if I am everything,
you're also your thoughts, and you're also,
I'm also those things.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm just, I feel so confused as to how do I, yeah, I can't, it's like they're separate. I can't bring it all together. I don't know if I'm articulating it.
No, it's good. It's a necessary stage in your awakening where we have to begin by denial. I'm not this, I'm not that, so that we can begin to experience what's watching, the awareness, the noumenon. And we're not just, most human beings are 100% noticing their experience and never noticing the one experiencing. So we have to start from that place, don't we? Temporarily turn away from that stuff so that you recognize the one that's watching all of that. And then the second stage of that then is to say, well, anything that's arising out of that one watcher must be that, or anything that you observe must be the same as the observer. It cannot be there without the observer. Without silence, you wouldn't know what sound is. And without stillness, you wouldn't know what movement is. And so there's a necessary period then of re-inclusion of all of those things. I am my body, my thoughts, my mind, my emotions, but they're not really what I think they are. They are ways that I am, I, the silence, am showing up as. So it's a re-inclusion of everything, but it's a re-inclusion because I know what it really is. There's a deeper understanding coming in that. It feels like a 180 experientially, right? I've just spent all this time, not this, not that. And then now you're telling me, okay, I have to begin to take all that back in. But the only reason my thoughts hurt me before and my emotions and all of that and other beings is because I thought they really were those things. I thought a thought was a thought. I thought fear was fear. And I thought that this other being was really other. But if I begin to see what they really are, then how can I not include it in me if it's also silence, if it's also stillness? Even this despair or this noisy mind or this grief or this very angry person in my experience or something like that. It begins to be, I don't really want to exclude anything, because to exclude it means it's other than me. And then I'll feel divided again.
Yeah, and I think that's where the struggle was, because it was just like, there was a point in time where that felt so true that I wasn't those things. And now to say that, it's like, but that just doesn't, it doesn't feel true anymore, but I just didn't know how to like, just begin to accept it all.
It's really to something just else. Those things that we're including, really, actually nothing's really happening in what we're talking about. We're only coming to see the label that we've given something isn't really what it is. So I'm not my body, I'm not my thoughts. That's great. But if we knew what our body is, really, it's emptiness, looking like a human body. Silence, stillness, consciousness. It doesn't matter then really whether we're calling it a body or emptiness. It is me. There's an automatic inclusion in that. Mm-hmm. It is counterintuitive compared to where we start, but that is really a necessary part of teaching and of awakening, is that we have to bring attention to the awareness first. Then we can recognize the awareness, and then we can recognize I am that awareness. Then later we can recognize everything is that awareness, what lesson four is talking about. Only then do we feel whole, because there isn't anything other than me, the awareness.
So last night I had this experience of, I was brushing my teeth and I was aware of watching that happening. So just the awareness of that. And it was almost like I felt like, is the body mind just like a puppet in a sense? And I don't mean that in a negative way, but I mean that in, there is no doer, there's just
doing,
and there's just the watching of that.
And there's no thinker, there's just thinking. And there's no seeker reaching awakening, there's just awakening happening. The body's just doing what it does. The mind is just thinking what it thinks. And nobody there paying attention to that anymore. There's just this impersonal watcher that is awareness, or whatever you want to call it, that's watching all of this. And at first, it watches all of this and still believes all of this is separate to it. But then it begins to see all of this is also the watcher in different shapes and forms. Some of them subtle like thoughts, some of them gross like a table or a chair, but still all of this is you. It is the final sort of deep seeing, deep knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been like that. Our body's just been getting on doing whatever needs doing. But we've been taking, our ego has been taking credit for that. I made that happen because, and the doer is constantly, the sense of a doer is constantly sustained. Eventually you don't want to do that anymore. It's like, it's nicer just to watch, isn't it? Just to see.
Yeah, and I think what's happening is I'm becoming less, this is where it gets confusing though, because I'm becoming less attached to the body mind and realizing that I am the awareness watching.
Less attached, but more, yet, more in love with it, right? If you look at how you feel about your body and mind now, don't you feel more in love with them than before, than ever before?
Yes.
More grateful for them. But even knowing what they really are, we've created these two body minds so we can have this conversation, so that you can talk to yourself. Isn't that beautiful that we did that? We played with these shapes just to have this conversation. So it's not like, okay, I have to accept that I am my body again. I am my thoughts. I am everything else, because we're re-including from the recognition of what those things really are. It's an act of love then, isn't it? Rather than, you know, I've just cleared all this junk out of my self-definition. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not that, you know, and now finally, now you tell me I've got to take it all back in. You know, what's the point of doing all that in the first place then?
Yeah, but you just saying that and me just like it, I feel like a shift. There's a shift happening. So it's like everything just kind of coming and dissolving back into the emptiness.
And it'll be like this real
deeper peace. Yeah. Deeper peace.
For the rest of that body's existence and beyond, there'll be a re-inclusion. So you'll see somebody you haven't seen in years and you'll feel an emotion you haven't felt in a long time. Oh, I am also this emotion. And I am also that being. And then, you know, even more and more subtle, life is still showing me things that I can include back into my sense of self. Much more subtle and happens less often, but something will begin to value that and enjoy that inclusiveness. I'm also this. And because I recognize this person is me, I don't have to think about them or defend myself and, you know, try all of that stuff. It's a much more effortless way to be.
Will there still be that, but I'm not this thought? Because I feel like I'm still in that transition of, you know, like karmic patterns and all that. So I think it's just the mind coming in and just confusing things.
What is a karmic pattern? What really is it?
Yeah, it's just emptiness.
So this is the easy answer to any question you're ever going to ask me. I'll just go, what really is it? Because, you know, obviously I won't just say that, but this level of experiencing reality can replace all the other practice you're doing if you want to, you know, because even lesson one, focus on the noumenon and not the phenomena. It doesn't matter if I'm looking at phenomena when I realize what they really are, what they really are, and that there aren't really any phenomena. It's all the noumenon. There aren't really any other beings. His mind is always going to feel a little bit, hang on, you just moved the goalpost completely now. You just took them from here and moved them right over there, you know. But that's a natural sign of you're going somewhere inside yourself where the mind can't really follow. That's okay. It might be a little confused.
Yeah, because I realize that I'm in this place where I know the truth of what I know the truth of that there is no thoughts, that karmic patterns are emptiness. So I know that on a deeper knowing. So there's that real peace that comes with that more effortlessly. So
yeah, and it really is just then about everyday life might show you some things that you've a tendency to think about rather than experience. And that's not, oh my God, I'm not there yet. It's just, here's something I can experience in the fullness of it. Here's something I can really love. I can really love this emotion for the first time, really meet it, really feel it. Or I can really love this person for the first time, maybe from a distance, but still nonetheless, you know, my body doesn't have to be in the room with that body to love them. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes, you know, but you get the sense of it, right?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Very, very helpful.
Good. Thanks. Lovely. Okay. Julie?
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to ask you, I'm in a place where I know everything's happening inside me. And I see that I can be with it's real and not real at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, I know I'm alone, but I'm not lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've never, with the awakening, I didn't have much trouble with other people because it's really easy for me to see that I'm creating it. With the relationship and when there's a sense of a person that needs to defend something,
yeah,
I can see that person is inside me. Yeah. It's an imagined person inside me and the other person is an imagined person also inside me. And it's really easy to see the interaction because it's quite quick.
Yeah.
The energy changes and then I can say, oh, I don't want to experience that. So I'm going to change my attachment to this person that I'm defending that doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to see that the love energy, and it's really easy to see that how it becomes peaceful with other people. And I've had more trouble with things than people.
Okay.
But this lesson with it's really, really inspiring to look at things and see, you know, what are really are these things. With people, I find it's easier because they talk and there's like, it's consciousness, mm-hmm. you know, it's consciousness in form. There's might be an attachment with it being alive as a person or as a body mind, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So where I'm going with this is I quit my job last week. And it was a struggle for me because there was a seeing that something wants to express.
Yeah.
And there was a need for a change. So it brings me into fear of the unknown because there is no salary. There is nothing that's going to come. And fear also of these way of being that Julie wants to do a lot. You know, she wants to be sure everything's going to be worked out. So
yeah,
my way of doing it is to include Julie in me and, you know, pat on the head. It's going to be fine. You're fine. Is that like a good route or to be with the, there are some thoughts about, you know, fear and sensation in the body. The body's become more really sensitive.
Yeah.
And I kind of have no choice of just being with the energy and meeting the energy instead of thinking about it.
Yeah.
So but the mind is still very active, even though I know I'm imagining everything. Everything's imagined. You know,
the best way, really, the simplest way now might be to look at what is it I'm actually thinking about. So I found myself in a similar situation. One income source was shifting over to another one, and there was a real insecurity in that because the other one hadn't kicked in yet. And I was like, ooh. So I had to really look at what is most of my thought process about. And at that point, it was money. Or some kind of mind's activity was trying to figure out how
creating a future as if you know there's not going to be any money. It's creating a future.
I can only think about money if I think money is an actual thing. If I haven't seen fully that it is me, or that it is nothingness, emptiness, silence. So I spent a lot of time asking this question of money: what really is it, or whatever I seem to need? If I need an office to work from, or I need somebody to come and help me, a skill that I don't have, I could spend time contemplating what actually is this. So with money, I went through all the layers, you know, it's paper notes, it's metal coins, it's numbers on my app, on my phone, on my bank app, and it's a cash machine ATM, it's, you know, all of these things. It's debt, it's savings. And I kept asking and asking and asking until I got back to the experiential answer, which is just peace and openness. And I had to really, here is one area, money, where we have a lot of thoughts about it and we never really just experience it. Mm-hmm. Even the word currency indicates that it's more of an energy, a flow, than an actual thing.
It's
kind of about it are going to really solidify into our experience of it. Yeah,
it's kind of known, but it seems the mind is just constantly continuing, and I'm like,
so it's only
what is that about?
Well, we all have places in our life where even having heard lesson four and really got it and had an amazing experience seeing, like with Helen and my daughter, it's not really what I think she is, where our mind just obsessively goes back to thinking about something or someone, and that is really just a force of habit. So something like money, also my kids, also with time, I had to really spend some consistent time, ironically, questioning what it actually is, only because I'd had more, as far as my separate sense of self was, I had a whole lifetime experience of not having enough money, or friction in my relationship with my kids, or whatever it was. So there's just a default setting to think about them.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is just a habit that can be turned around by beginning to question.
Yeah. So it's really normal at this stage that you kind of know, but it's still going on.
Really, we only have like two or three beings in our life that we think about a lot, or one thing like money, or if our body's ill, we'll be thinking about health and well-being a lot. And it's not really the rest of the world that troubles us. It's only where our mind is kind of obsessing.
Okay.
Because it's trying to think about what to do about that thing, how to get the outcome that you want. But all that thinking calms down as you begin to see what that thing really is. And then you can allow the flow, there's a natural flow to manifestation, as I'm sure you've experienced.
Yes, otherwise it's blocked by this energy.
Yeah, yeah. My very worrying about money has to create a seeming lack, has to reflect as that. Or lack of time, or if I don't have enough energy, or whatever it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very normal, but you're kind of aware of just how crazy the mind is now, right? It's just talking about this thing all the time.
Yes.
No reason.
It's kind of creating an experience. It's like, and there's no need for that.
Because it's trying to solve a problem that it can't solve.
Yeah.
It's trying to think its way around something that doesn't exist. Yeah. So, but it can't see that, but you can as you begin to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Bev, when you're ready.
Can you hear me?
I can. Yeah. Nice to talk to you.
This time around, I was going through the experience with the examples and, you know, using my daughter as an example, you know, as you know.
Every parent will do this with their kids.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She, you know, had a lot of, as we've discussed, a lot of medical things that are just like popping up like popcorn. And what I've seen myself do is these, you know, these medical issues, because they require to some extent so much micromanagement on my part.
Yeah.
That I realized that I was seeing all of these things and not seeing her, you know. And she's kind of getting lost in all of this stuff because, you know, through this exercise, I'm thinking, do I then question, you know, what is, you know, this disorder? What is this illness? Yeah,
absolutely. Any diagnosis, any label of a diagnosis or disorder or anything like that, you can apply this to. And you find yourself more able to kind of deal with it effectively on the physical level then.
Right. And because being in the medical profession is even worse, you know.
You have a whole bunch of labels in there.
I have so much mind stuff going on around, oh my God, this means this and this means that, you know.
And all the experiences of helping people with those things and, you know, on and on. Yes.
So, you know, you have this kind of trailing of mental activity around what else can go wrong, you know, and that kind of stuff. So it's kind of like really questioning all of the things that are in front of her, sort of, that are not allowing me to see her, to experience her, and to and also allowing me not to suffer, which is I think a huge part of it. So I think this will be just, you know, an interesting way to kind of
No, we might have spoken about this before, but just like we were saying with Julie, there's going to be a certain area of your life where we tend to think about things more. You know, I could say to you, you know, you could come across another being, have a little friction with them, and immediately forget it and say, it's just because I was thinking about them and I can stop it now. But in certain areas of our life, usually parents with kids is one area where we continue to think about them because that's what parents do. And am I going to be a good parent if I don't obsess over this mentally, at least? And just sort of accepting that without any. Of course, you're going to want to hang on to thinking about her and what's going on with her for longer in this area.
Yes.
Yeah. Even though it's kind of, I don't want it as well, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's part of, it was a major shift to me to realize the less I think about them, the more effective a parent I am in terms of being able to be there in the moment and do what's needed and necessary. And
right.
But it very much was panic, you know, danger, don't do this with your kids, don't apply this to your kids, was really going on inside.
Yeah. And then I think there was this temptation to get into some almost becoming stoic to just avoid the effect that it was having on me. You know, I was getting into the stoicism that was not helpful either. So kind of like facing it in a sense head on, or what is this, you know, to kind of like get rid of sort of this boogeyman in my mind of, you know, what does all this mean, you know? So I think.
And the recognition that maybe your profession and what's happening with your daughter is a way that you can also see things from a unique perspective and awakened perspective. You can have ideas about these labels and diagnoses for your daughter and other beings that you're helping in a way that you wouldn't be able to if you were just caught in the thoughts, you know, of. So it's sometimes a challenge to apply it in certain areas, and that's really what I wanted to get across from this conversation with you. But because we care so much, because you're a good parent, you know, you've done what you can and thought your way through it from 150,000 different angles. Slight exaggeration maybe, or maybe not. 2 o'clock in the morning, here I am again. Does that help you?
Yes, thank you.
Good, lovely to talk to you.
Okay.
And Patty?
Hi, Helen.
Hi.
There's a lot going on in my body this morning, and it just started when you started with the examples. And
sorry. It's okay.
I didn't want to put my hand up. I'm just so afraid. And I don't know why.
It's okay, isn't it? It doesn't need to have a reason. It can be seemingly no reason or irrational or whatever. It's okay. Yes. And you remember I said that lesson four involves a very different way of thinking about things than we're taught. Sometimes even just that can be very confrontational to some part of us. It can bring up a lot of stuff.
Like Sylvia said, it was surprising to her. She was having this wonderful experience. And it's surprising to me that this is coming up this way. And it's like when you ask the question, what actually is that? I don't know. And that didn't seem to be okay. A visceral response happened. And so I heard you say, when Helena said, here's me again putting my hand up. And you said, oh no, like if it were me, I'd put up my hand up and said, I want awakening, please.
I'd be a major pain in the butt of any teacher. I was the student. Oh. I would be like, pick me.
Yeah. All time. So I just hit raise hand and said, just let this happen and see where this goes. So
good.
This is where I'm at right at the moment.
So when we begin to recognize, for me, and this might, may or may not be your experience, but it might be helpful nonetheless. When I began to recognize that I'd never really experienced anything, there was a massive wave of emotion that kind of came behind that, a sense of, first of all, disappointment, a sense of wasted time, a loss of, you know, I've never, a grieving actually, if I'm a grieving process. It didn't last very long, but it was quite a sense of regret. But then I've been walking around this world and I haven't noticed any of it. I've been so kind of lost up here. And even when I think I'm in love with someone or have a relationship with someone, I gave birth to this child, and yet have I really met them even? You know, all of those kind of thoughts came up with this real intensity, is probably the best word, of emotion. But also, I mean, that settled down into a relief that I was finally starting to see reality, and then a sense of I was experiencing the world the best way I could, my world, and that was through my thoughts at the time. That's all I knew how to do. So it kind of settled down a bit. But then also, as we begin to experience reality directly like this, from a place of not knowing, it can also feel very unsettling for the mind, because the mind likes to know what things are. If I said to you, daughter or sister, you could go to a filing cabinet in your mind and pull out the drawer with all the things you know about your sister or something, couldn't you? And suddenly to kind of not reference that so much is very unsettling for the mind at first, until it begins to experience the peace that comes from experiencing reality this way. And the third reason for this kind of uprising of stuff is we've had so much emotion based on so many thoughts about other beings. All the times we've argued with other beings, we might have judged them, judged ourselves, all of that kind of, when we begin to realize we were only experiencing our thoughts, then this emotion can kind of, all the disappointment, all the, I never got what I wanted, you know, kind of comes to the surface. Can you, probably a mix of all of those going on.
Yeah, it's just surprising because, you know, I've experienced peace. I've experienced like just beautiful realizations. And and when this was coming up, it's almost like mine's like, it's okay, I got this. And it, but it didn't. And like, I'm grateful this is happening. and I don't understand it. And I'm just glad I put my hand up.
I really am.
Because there's so many things like it's going, you're such a loser. Oh, don't do that. You'll bring everybody down. And oh my God, it was unbelievable.
And everyone is just right here watching you, wishing that they could hug you right now in reality, including me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've put a voice to something that everyone will be feeling. And you saw the two people that we did the examples with, they had tears straight away. Yeah. You know, some of them happy tears, like, wow, I've never experienced reality this way. But also there'll be some undercurrent of emotion there as well. For me, it was, I know this sounds like a biblical thing and I don't mean it that way, but it was like being born again, because, or starting to experience again, rather, because I hadn't really ever experienced anything without the filter of my thoughts in the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was enormously humbling, if I'm honest. I thought I was so awakened and yet still wasn't really experiencing the fullness of reality. So there'll be a lot of, it's a pressure cooker in here, isn't it? We think there's a whole world of beings to think about and deal with and interact with, and suddenly begin to realize that's not true, or gradually begin to realize all I've ever been experiencing is the noumenon, no matter what I was calling it. And it's got an infinite number of names, like sister, daughter, brother, table, chair, planet, you know, thoughts, emotions. There's kind of a decompression, a releasing in that. It's a very, very visceral thing for me.
Yeah.
And you only see me when I've come out the other side of that and I'm much calmer and happier.
When I remind myself that I am the noumenon and I am standing there, even though it may not feel like it, I've been able to experience that contrast, but it's almost like this was like, it just feels like an attack, a fear, survival, guttural.
Yeah.
You don't know, you know?
Because I've had this idea that everything is separate to me. In any moment, any one of those things could impact me in a way that I can't control. My existence could be terminated in any moment as a separate being. You know, there's all these other things. And, you know, the great big bad noumenon itself, the self, could come and annihilate me at any moment, you know, if that's so ego says, at least. So there's this existential terror that comes, fear. Sometimes it comes in waves, but can be very, very intense at times. But I can feel this now because I'm beginning to realize I'm safe. There is nothing else other than me to hurt me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I must be feeling safe too. Yeah.
That's the key thing that I can see. This is happening because your identity is shifting. And I can tell that because you put your hand up and you're speaking your way through it instead of just suffering in silence, so to speak.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the self that put its hand up, didn't it, and said, you know, I need to talk this through. He goes going, no, don't do that. It's crazy. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you so much. And thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Hopefully it's easing a little bit. Is it steadying out?
Yeah. Big breaths. Yeah. Feeling it.
Your body knows what to do with this if you can kind of trust it intuitively. Yeah. It'll come in waves a couple of times and it might come back again a few times, just so that the intensity of it can release. It's just turning back into peace. That's all that's happening. You probably feel that as you know, so it's transmuting into something else.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
So many imagined lifetimes spent fearing an end to existence that could never happen, but has been nonetheless experienced because our belief in it. So it kind of, you know.
Yeah. Lovely. Thank you.
Well done. Well done. Thank you. Last but not least is Anka.
Hi, Helen.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me good?
Okay. I can. We can. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, Helen, I just wanted to thank you. It feels like all these years, all the process I've been in the last 10 years, it has been condensed in this month, in these four sessions. And like I was, like you reminded me something that somehow it felt like I lost it, you know?
I'm not telling you anything new, am I? I'm just reminding you of what you've always known, but somehow it's got covered over somehow.
Yeah. But you know what I mean, you know? Yeah. Like mirroring this to you, through you, because you're a clear mirror, it became alive again, alive in me. Because I was in this point that I don't even want this. I don't want this. Like, you know.
I remember, I'm smiling because I remember that inside myself. I'm so done with this awakening nonsense, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm never doing it again.
And I've been in this place for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, you know. And I just learned how to deal with it. I don't know how to. It felt like, you know, my beloved just left me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it felt like this.
It's awful, isn't it? I've lost the best thing ever that I've ever could experience. I've lost it. It's gone.
Yeah. But with the help of you, just this feeling came alive again inside me. And it's much more, I don't know how to, it's not enthusiastic. It's like a deep remembering, you know, a deep, yeah, something like this.
Remembering that kind of deepens into, I've always been this. This is the only thing that's ever been happening, you know, kind of deepens.
Yeah.
I just forgot for a while and had some really crazy ideas about myself for a long while. Really crazy.
Yeah, I don't mind having them. It's like, this is it, you know. Yeah. It's like, and through this month, I've learned how to not to judge, because I've been in this point where this is not somebody who experienced this, it would not act like this or something, you know. This judgment came over and over again, and I just, at what point, just ignore it. Mm-hmm. See, it's not really ignore it, but it was still there, you know, like inside, but not paying attention to it, but it was there. And this, for me, is the most precious thing, precious, you know. It's switched. Yeah. And I really thank you for this. I really thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really thank you.
Thank you.
And I would like to come and see you in the retreat you have.
I hope I can do it.
Yeah. You're here
lots
now.
Lots of hugs and I'm a very huggy person, so be warned. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a huggy person too.
Oh, good. That's good.
Oh, good. Well, we're gonna hug.
It's so nice. We get stuck at certain points, don't we, for a while in our awakening, and some of them are very, very unpleasant. And there's no more painful place in our awakening than to having experienced what we really are, having a glimpse, and then it's seemingly gone. It's just so painful that sometimes the only way we can deal with that is we kind of shut down a little bit.
Yeah, just
on some level. Yeah. Like, I just can't deal with the having lost this somehow. So it's so like a breath of fresh air when I can finally just feel myself emerging back out of that again into some curiosity and excitement.
It feels like the spring is coming, you know, like
the snow is thawing.
And another, just one more thing, another thing interesting just happened this month, because I was talking to you about smoking and I've realized the reason I started to smoke, to numb this feeling, feeling of abandonment. Abandonment. So a few days ago, I was smoking a joint with my friends, and it was like some kind of a party. And at one point, I just realized I'm not fuzzy at all, I was crystal clear, and I was high as, trust me, stoned, you know. and I was crystal clear inside.
It didn't bring you down. It didn't bring you down. Yeah.
No, no. And I remembered you in that moment, and I thanked you inside my heart. And just from that point, like, everything expanded. And it was like, whoa, yes, yes. I wanted to write you an email to thank you about it, but I just thanked you inside my heart. Then.
I'm sure I felt it, definitely. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's wonderful. Thank you. Things like that, we might do them. You know, I did it with alcohol to kind of numb the pain for a while because there was so much pain. But after a while, I kind of realized I don't really need to do that because it's actually just diminishing my capacity to experience the clarity of this moment. And if it goes on or not, it doesn't matter so much, does it? But it's not, there was a clear thing, it's happening to the body anyway. It's the body that's feeling the effect of it, not me. I'm just completely, you know, here. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Wonderful. Hopefully stop judging yourself so much.
Oh, yeah, well, thank you. This was like the best thing, the best thing, the best thing. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, we'll see you next day.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. So, right, let's wrap this up before I have some announcements that I'm going to remember to say. So I'm just going to go and read them so I don't forget. Just to let you all know that the Nuggets will continue till for a couple more days till the end of this week. You'll get those via email. And the next and the last Q&A session is the 31st of March, which is at 7 p.m. UK time, which is this Thursday coming. So if you want to send something in, it has to be by 7 p.m. on Wednesday, the 30th of March. Phew. It's highly recommended. That was a lot of work. It's highly recommended that you repeat the course. You can either do that with us as a group, or you can join the graduate program, which I'm going to talk about in a moment. But most of all, just replay what people have tended to do before is, and I think it's a really good idea, is to do lesson four this week and then start with lesson one again the week after. And just go through a lesson a week. And just listening and going through it, you're going to begin to take it even deeper. You could watch the lessons an infinite number of times and get infinitely more out of it each time. I'm sure you've experienced this already with other teachings, with if you read a book the second time you read it, you get it deeper, all of that. So there is the graduate program, which I'll talk about in a moment, but I want to just, before I do that, I want to say thank you to everyone that's run the Sangha groups and has made this possible, all the people behind the scenes that have made all this possible, because it isn't just me, obviously, it's a whole act of love, this course. And it's hopefully you can see it is very deeply based on practicality, what I actually did to get myself out of trouble when I was really in it. So hopefully it's focused on practicality, is what to actually do to transcend these things. And I want to say that there isn't any difference between me and you, and I don't just mean that from a lesson four perspective, of course we're all the self, but only difference is that this body mind here has been applying the tools that you've got now in these four lessons for longer, that's all. And the only reason that I can teach this to you is because I've been right where you are. And the only reason I can answer any everybody's question is because I've been stuck in that same place. Whatever you tell me that you're struggling with, I will have been there too. So that's the only reason I know how to help and advise. So don't look at me now and think I've never been through that, right where you are right now. I have been there in some very dark places where I thought it would never happen, where I walked away from the pathway three or four times at least, threw all my books away, and ended up right back doing it again. So if I can do it, so can you too. Just to listen to the teachings with an open mind and an open heart as best you can, it is happening. I want to say finally that you cannot fail at this awakening. Why? Because you are it. You are the noumenon already. It's just gradually it's coming to recognize itself. And the major idea that stops that from happening is this sense that you might not make it. If you had to change from being an ego actually into the self, noumenon, then you might be able to fail. But because you are already it, you're only looking in a mirror and seeing yourself clearly. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to talk a little bit about the graduate program, which is a continuation of this. It's not a replacement for. It's called the graduate program because anyone that's graduated this course, if you've done the course once, you can join the graduate program if you want to. It's not required. It's optional, of course. And I'm going to introduce Michael in a minute, who's our wonderful ambassador even. And he is going to help you with any questions that you've got completely. I've also put the chat function on here. So if anybody wants to put in the chat box their rough location, if anybody wants to find if it's anyone doing the course near them, feel free to put in the chat box your location, see if there's anyone else around you. Or if there's anyone else that you just want to message privately on the chat box here, you can. If you want to reply to someone privately, when you go to reply to them, they'll give you the option, reply to everyone or send message to everyone or just to that person. So the graduate program is where we take one lesson. This month, we've been looking at lesson one and we study it for a whole month. And because we can do it for a whole month, we can take it a lot deeper. So we're not doing anything advanced other than what we're doing in the course. We're just doing it really deeply. Looking at it really deeply. And each month there is a live class on the first Saturday of each month. There's also a Q&A session later in the month. There's lots of graduate program events that aren't really that are only available to graduate program members. And there's a huge community growing, a really loving family that can support you through your awakening too. You don't need to join it. It's entirely up to you. You will get an email later after the session's finished with a link on there that you can check it out if you want to. And I can see the places coming in. That's great. I'll also ask you, Michael, to put your contact details in the chat box if you want to. You can contact Michael with any questions at all about how to move on from this course, about the graduate program. Anything that you need to know, Michael will be there to help you with. Do you want to just say hello, Michael, if you're ready?
Hello, everybody. I'm Michael. I'm over in the States in Florida, but I'm here to support you. And if you're interested in definitely participating in the graduate program, we have a great group of people that meet up on the during the week. And I will post here in the chat my email address and my phone number. We do have a WhatsApp group too for a statement process. That's something we do in the graduate program too to support people. It has been tends to be a little bit of a bumpy ride along the way. So the graduate program's really been beautiful to get the support of people on the journey. And we've all got life circumstances that come up, and it's just beautiful to have this this place where we can have these kind of conversations and hold each other in this truth. All right. So thank you, and I look forward to connecting with you all.
Thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate that. And so just to finish before we stop the recording, just going back over the material again and again, but from a place of just wanting to see what you are. Curiosity really is what we've been talking about in lesson four. That is the key, the openness and the curiosity. And a general sense of not knowing that deepens. So don't forget, you have the Q&A. If you have any challenges, the last Q&A, make your put your question in there or your challenge, and I'll do the best to answer as many as I can. I've already got three or four in there for Thursday. So just want to say thank you for believing in yourself enough to take part in this course. I'm sure everyone faced their doubts about doing that themselves and whether they can awaken fully. But if you are this already, then there's no doubt here in my heart. So hopefully you're beginning to feel that too yourself. So thank you very much. Namaste. Okay. So